want to iterate a little bit on what Stefan had shared. We do need to be, you know, keeping Pastor and Sister Brenda in our prayers. They are getting quite a bit there. And so what they get, they bring back. And we get the splash back. So we get around and we get that splash back. It's real important that you understand that, because that's, there's a lot that goes, that comes with that. I won't get into that. So anyway, what I want to talk to you tonight about is faith. Your faith. And faith is the reason you don't have certain things in your life. You don't have, and the reason you don't have certain things in your life, there's many reasons, but as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, a word of faith believer, then you have to initiate something very powerful, and it's just 1 inch below your nose. And you got to pay attention to it, because it's right there. You don't always see it, but without it, you do without, simply because you don't open your mouth and put it into effect. You cannot play golf without golf gloves and a golf ball. So you have to have the equipment to do that. So with faith, you have to have the equipment. And what is the equipment? That is the Word of God. In Romans 10:17, it says, I get to my notes. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so seeking out the Word of God will cause increase in your life. Because faith without works is dead. So faith without words is dead. You can have the faith for anything you want, but if you don't put any words with it, you don't put God's word with it, it's not gonna, it's dead. It's just gonna sit there. But God's word never, never, ever, ever returns void. You know, when God said, light be, do you know that light's never stopped being? The universe never stopped growing. It continuously goes. When God says light stop, it stopped, but he did not. He said light be, and light was, and light is, always will be. So we have to approach God's word that way. We need to understand this is his word. These are his promises. These are your weapons that you use to tear down the principalities and powers that come against you in life. Most of our battles in life are lost because of, like I said, the instrument 1 inch below your nose. You've not put that into use. You're not using it. You're not, and you may not have known, which everybody has to start somewhere. I didn't always know. I'm still learning today. All the time I'm learning. Every day I find something new in the Word of God. I put time into it. I participate in it. I hold value in it. You know, it is not, I'm not trying to look good, I'm not trying to be super Christian. I'm trying to be Dan Wather. I'm trying to be what God created. He created me for a reason. He sent me here to do things. So I need to listen to him and find out what I need to do. Not just here physically, but in my life. You know, the people that I've affected. It's because, you know, my biggest effect is my mouth. And if you're doing well, you're great. I really like what you're doing. I can't believe you've come so far. Your mouth has life in it. Now you can turn it around and it can be death. And that's not the purpose of your tongue. You know, you can't go around saying, I'm too poor to pay attention, I'm busted and disgusted. You know, when you say these things and they're humorous and, you know, they make jokes out of it, but it's not a joke. You know, it's not funny to be busted. My wife and I, we raised 8 children. We know what poor is. We know what without is. So it's not funny. It's not fun. There's no joy to it. It's way better than it ever was when we first got married. So words matter. They have life and death. If the words that are coming out of your mouth are not words of God, then you're creating a problem. If you confess what Satan is telling you about why he said, I'm poor, I'm busted, disgusted, well, that's a problem. So you look at life around you and you look, you lack poverty, you bad health, you confess what you see and you say, you know, what you're seeing. And a lot of, that's what the world does. It's a man, you know, whatever. You know, you've heard it, you go to work, you hear other people saying, man, you know, whatever, their confession's negative. And it's not that positive speaking changes everything. It does not. But positively proclaiming God's word does. It has foundation. You know, idle words, they have foundation, but they tear down a foundation. They don't build it up. So, and when you speak these idle words, you tell God, sorry, God, I know you created the earth, you created me, but hey, I think you missed it. You don't know what you're really doing. Satan, come into my life. I want to be poor. I want to be sick. I want to die tomorrow. This is what you're doing with your tongue. Now, I know I'm over-dramatizing it, but I'm trying to get my point across. You know, it's especially important, and the sooner you train yourself, the sooner you train your children, the better their lives will be and the better your lives will be. It doesn't change overnight, because I create an atmosphere in my household. You know, I've had pastors come over and they said, man, there's such a peace in this house. Well, we create that. My wife and I do. So you create your atmosphere in your family and around your children and around your loved ones, around your workplace. And I know workplace can be rough, but you don't have to chime in with them. Just be silent. And eventually they're going to say, there's something different about you. Why don't, you know, don't you agree? Don't you believe, you know? Well, no, I don't. And this is why. You know, you can't be afraid to say what you believe, because you're believing to enhance your life for your family, your children, your grandchildren, whatever, you know, siblings, whatever the case may be. So a Christian, it doesn't matter, man or woman, you have to stand up and say, hey, you know, the buck stops here. You're not bringing that into me. You know, I don't allow people to tell me dirty jokes. There's a lot of things I don't allow. I walk off. I don't care who they are. It makes no difference to me. So when you get into the Word and you get plenty of scriptures to back that up, and part of these scriptures that I've written down are part of that. And I'll go back to Romans 10:17. It says that in faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is a daily. It's not once a day. If you choose, hey, once a day is great. I'll take what I can get. You know, God's kind of told me that. He said, well, I'll take what I can get. And I felt, wow. And, you know, I kind of felt small. I thought, well, I thought I was really doing something, you know. I heard one thing about the most popular, the most dedicated Christian in Hollywood says he spends 30 minutes a day, every day. I said, boy, that's shallow. You know, they thought it was a big deal. Well, this is really something. Well, I can't even get up. I can't even get through my notes and my prayers that I pray over my family in 30 minutes. So anyway, you get the point. You know, Satan is a liar. Whoop, sorry. Wrong note. Okay, Ephesians 6:12. Now, I read Ephesians 6 every day, but I want to focus on 12. I would recommend that you read it and make it part of your daily life because it will strengthen you. It's talking about you, talking about your life and what you can do. But 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So, you know, God's telling you, this is your battleground. This is what you're fighting against. It's not easy. Being a Christian is not for sissies. Trust me, it's not. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You know, you're accountable to God. And God has given you the strength, the wisdom, and the know-how to do it. It's right here in His Word. He doesn't hold anything back. Every secret is revealed if you will pursue Him and step up. You know, when you step up and change things in your life, so you go from, you don't pray a lot, or maybe on Sunday or Wednesday, but when you start doing it every day, so you come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, that's something. That's admirable. But then the next step is open your Bible and start reading it. I'm not telling you have to read, 40 chapters a day. You have to familiarize yourself with the Bible. You have to familiarize yourself with the God that created you and loves you. He sent His Son, was sinless, to suffer on the cross, which none of us have no concept of having to do even a part of that. It was so terrible. We'll get to Deuteronomy in a minute. Okay, so in your faith move, in your faith walk, and that's what I'm trying to impress upon you is, you know, increase your faith, increase your level. I know when I was younger, I thought, boy, I don't have faith for that. And, man, that has to take a lot of faith to, you know, to do that. I mean, how do I do that? Well, I don't. It took time for me to realize I don't have to do that. All I have to do is believe in my Savior and my Creator and repeat His word to Him. You know, you have angels. We all have angels. They're ministering angels. You know those angels? Only do what you say to do according to the Word of God. Now, you can say, you know, the example, don't play out in the street, you get hit by a car. You're playing out in the street, you're going to get hit by a car. You play out in the street, and well, the kid, you know, and just using this as an example. So then the child gets hit by a car. So these are what your angels are doing. They're sitting over there going, you know, why is he prophesying over his kids to get hit by a car? I hear it coming out of his mouth. He said, well, if you play out there, you're going to get hit by a car. Well, sure enough, they got hit by a car. So the angels, they can't do nothing. They're not going to come down and save you and just pull you right out of it. That's not how it works. You're not confessing God's word. You're confessing Satan's word, which is doubt and unbelief, you know, and death. So I hope that helps. It's more than just a negative saying. It's death. Negative is a nice way of putting it, but you're actually killing that child or whatever. You know, you all get what I'm trying to say. And you do that, and at the same time, so you're telling Satan, come on in, you know, I want my kids to get hit by a car, da 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 da. And in your heart, you know that's not what you're wanting, but that's the power of your tongue. That's the power of saying things that are not, don't line up with the Word of God. Now, do you have to go around and quote scripture every time you talk to your wife? It ain't gonna happen. You have conversations, but you have the love of God in there. And trust me, we'll be coming up on 40 years. It's a process, and you're gonna make mistakes, and things are not gonna be good, and then they are gonna be good, but it's a process. So, you know, you learn to love, you learn to forgive quickly, and you need, you know, walking in love is everything. So you have plenty of scriptures to back up God's word. And you know Satan is a liar. So now we'll get to Deuteronomy 28. This really highlights what I'm trying to get across to you, the importance of what you say. And if you have a Bible, you know, you turn to it. You're going to want to mark it. You want to highlight it. Don't tear the pages out because you want to come back and read it again. This is paramount. This is really, 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 really important. Okay, and in chapter 1 it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, the Lord the God will set thee above all nations on the earth." So you're not going to be poor. You're not going to be in poverty. You're not going to be living on Skid Row. That's not what the word says, does it? He'll set you above all nations. And granted, now, he is talking about the Jewish nation right now. But we're entitled to the same thing. You can read the Old Testament and put it into New Testament terminology, but when he makes a promise for people, then there are certain promises that are just for the Jewish people, but this affects us also. Pardon me? We are. Yeah, once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you're part of the family. You may not be Jewish by blood, but now you're Jewish by tribe. Okay? Yes, you're his chosen people. As you choose him, then he chooses you. And he puts these things, all these things in effect for us. And he says, "All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord our God," the voice come up again. So he's emphasizing what he says. So that's emphasizing to us what we say. It's highly important. "Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thine kind, and thy flocks, and thy sheep." So blessed shall be the city. You be in the city, so you be blessed going to work, coming home from work. Any business that you do, if you do it as unto the Lord, he will bless that. His blessings will be upon you in doing that, okay? It's real important how you conduct business. Some people think, well, you know, I'm going to sell this truck for $1,000. I hope some sucker buys it. It's really only worth $500. And somebody buys it for $1,000, and they say, you know, in their self, thinking, "Well, I got that guy." But you think God don't hear that and know what that's going on? He recognizes that. So we're accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. "And blessed be the fruit of thy body." Well, that's your children. That's your siblings. You know, your wife, your husband. You know, the fruit of your body. It doesn't matter if they're stepchildren or children, it doesn't matter. If you can speak into their lives, then you have an effect on them. Okay? Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Your basket and your store is your cupboards, your bank account. Blessed shall be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. But I mean, that covers it. We need to be mindful of that. Because there's days, like today, it's hot, and I work construction all my life, so I very well know what it means to work outside in the heat all day long. And tempers shorten, and your patience get real short. They kind of disappear. And you have to keep a handle on that. One job that I worked in a refinery, the Lord taught me patience. I had to work with some lovely people. I mean, it was, no matter what I did, they'd come around and they'd go behind my back and, oh yeah, Dan did that. And I'd be in trouble. I didn't do anything, but that's how, people are like that. They're jealous. Because there was, at first it was just me and a couple guys, and then we had three or four fellows that came in, and they were Christians. Well, now we have something to talk about. Before, there just wasn't much conversation with these guys. They were farmers, and they were drinkers and hollers, whatever. They just didn't have anything in common. So when the other men came in that were Christians, well, then that changed the whole atmosphere. Our work started increasing. We started to get more men. And because of the men, we prayed, we believed together, we blessed the work, we didn't curse it. So there's going to be natural jealousy because whether the people, they don't realize what they're seeing in you, but they're seeing the Holy Spirit, they're seeing Jesus in you. And if they're not saved and they're of the world, and they're not going to have much nice to say about you, they're trying to cut your heart out. And if it works, they're happy. We succeeded. You're reading the Bible, there's people that aren't happy until they've caused someone to fall that day, and that's really their life goal. It's sad. So you have to come rise above that. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against you, to be smitten before your face, and they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And that's true. All these gentlemen, I didn't mention them, but this group, one after one, the ones that came out against me the hardest, and not just me, it wasn't just me, but the other Christians, they died. Their life was cut short. And it's sad. We witnessed to them, tried to, show them the truth, and they wouldn't listen. And God takes care of us, even though we don't see it. And it's not, you don't glory in that, of course, but the thing of it is, God does take care of us. He's got our back. Nothing gets past him. The Lord said, he shall establish us a holy people unto himself. And he hath sworn unto us that he shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people there shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And that's what I just, explained to you. They're afraid of you because you have that Holy Spirit in you. You have Christ in you. It's when I was a younger man, I thought being a Christian was a sissy. Well, let me tell you. 50 years later, I got a different view. It's hard, but I always win, no matter what. I always win, don't we? We do. Amen. Because the people of the earth, They shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. That's what I just read. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. And of course, they're talking about the promised land for the Jewish people. But these also for us. You know, if you get 30,000 feet above the earth, which if you've been in a jet aircraft, you know that, and you look down, and if you had 1,000 acres and you had to see it from 30,000 feet, I mean, it's nothing. And I use that analogy because I thought, well, you know, because I have certain desires to have certain amount of land and different things. I said, well, that's an awful lot. You know, I don't know if God can do that. And then he gave me that concept. He says, what does it look like when you're flying? You know, we fly around different jobs. And I changed my whole concept. I mean, it's just, I'm not really asking for a lot. Actually, I'm probably asking for not enough. But regardless, you know, I've learned to get God's perspective. So it says here, the Lord, this is 12, the Lord shall open unto you the good treasure, the heaven, to give you rain unto the land in its season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Let's underline that. It's real important. You know, it's a putting you in a place of much respectability. People will come to you. And it's not that, you know, you have to understand them coming to you is because they see what you have in you. They don't know what it is. They're not sure. But when they get around you, they can sense the love of Christ in you. And so they will stumble, and you have to discern why. Because when people approach you, they're either wanting to take something from you or to give you something. And so in that, you have to learn how to discern those different spirits. I mean, they are spirits. This is a spiritual battle. Like I read to you, you know, in Ephesians 6 and 12, you know, we wrestle not against principalities, against powers and rulers of darkness. You know, that's our battle. That's our battleground. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. The Lord shall make you above only and not beneath. If you shall hearken unto the voice and the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command you this day to observe and do them all. And I can testify. And I don't like to use a lot of stories about myself, but that's what I know best. But all the hard work I put in at the refinery, and I tried to do excellent work. I was on 24-hour call. I tried to do the best. I tried to be the best employee I could be. Well, when things turned around, and they did turn around, then God put me in position of being the superintendent, supervisor, and not the worker. Actually, once I became supervisor, I got in trouble if I picked up a tool. I mean, that's how animate they were. I couldn't do anything. Well, and then these folks that had come out against me, they just kind of dropped off and didn't have anything. And they was coming to me, hey, can you give me a job? You know, so the tables were reversed. But what I'm wanting to say, how much God reversed it, we had 15 to 25 guys tops. When I got to the probably a year, maybe a little over a year after being supervisor, I had 175 guys. I had 5 different crafts. So here's, you know, you understand construction. I was a painter. I wasn't You know, I didn't know anything about iron workers, carpenters, laborers, you know, but God put me in that position. I didn't ask for it. They come to me and say, hey, you're doing so well, we want you to do this. Well, God blessed me for that, you know. It surpassed anything that I ever thought I could do. But I learned so much about people and how, you know, how to supervise people, I guess is the best word to do it. And the biggest thing that I learned was to help them as much as I could. I had general foremans, and they were over each craft. And so that gave me 5 general foremans. I'd go there, I said, what do you need? When do you need it? What can I do to get it? Can I do this better? So my analogy in that is towards the Word of God. What do I need to do, God? Where do I need to go? What do I have to do, Lord? What do I need to read? What do I need to do? I'm a servant to God. I'm a servant to Pastor Forrest and Miss Brenda. He asked to do stuff. I said, well, I'll see if somebody volunteer. And then I said, okay, I'll do it. You know, so I'm saying that I want to encourage you. We've got things. Things are going to be changing. Things are going to be growing. Yes. And I can't reveal some of the words that have been given. That's pastor's job. But I can tell you that the horizon's changing. It is changing. That's why I want to encourage you to pray for them and come in and pray, prayed up and ready. It means so much. It's just hard to explain to you how much difference it makes. You've seen how much difference it made when they came back from Kentucky. The whole atmosphere changed here. Yeah. It did. Yeah. And you know, people have been here longer than me. They recognize it. They saw it. And it's going to be changed more. Yeah. It is. It's for the best. And that's, you know, that's why we need, and we teach, and we try to show you these things that may seem simple, but they're the foundation. And you people are the foundation here. And you need a strong foundation when you're going to build a big building. Let's just use it in that terminology. So that's why it's important that we come in and take our place. You know, we're going to need ushers. We're going to be nursery workers. You know, we need greeters. We need everything. We're going to need every aspect. We're going to need teachers and teachers' assistants, you know. Anything you can think of, that's what we're going to need. You know, because it will come, and all you have to do is be obedient. You know, when the Holy Spirit told me to move here, my wife and I were sitting having dinner at a Texas Roadhouse. And the Holy Spirit says, tell your wife that you're going to move to Missouri. So, mind you, no planning, didn't have the house ready, didn't have the family ready, had nothing. But I knew, you know, when God speaks to me, I know when he speaks to me, I know his voice. So I told her, I said, well, this is what we're going to do. And, yeah, she's happy because she gets to come out to be with Teresa, and that was real happy, but God had more than that installed for us when we were coming. There were sayings, you know, I had no idea we'd be here. Had no idea. How this came about was, you know, God hooking up my pastor with Pastor, now my pastor, Pastor Dave and Pastor Forrest. They're my pastors. But he hooked them up. And he said, and Pastor Dave had told him, he says, yeah, we got one guy, he drives 105 miles to come to church. And Pastor Forrest says, well, I'd like to meet a guy like that. I didn't know what Pastor Dave was doing. I didn't know what was up. And So we came, and you know, it's just kind of history. It was just everything is happening so fast. It's really exciting, and I know I'm the new guy, but I'm telling you, things are changing for the better. This church is going to grow substantially. So I'm just trying to prepare you. You know, you're being informed. So I hope this word has helped you all and ministered to you. I hope you take it and put it into use, because the reading of God's word is just, you can't get enough of it. You know, I'm not computer savvy, but I'm learning YouTube, and I got an iPad, so. Well, Miss Brenda said it was really cute. Your husband still writes notes with pen and paper. And boy, I wasn't going to get an iPad. I said, you don't need that. She told my wife that. I said, well, now I got to learn. So I'm in that process. But anyway, my point is, it's really opened up another door. You know, I can listen to Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps, you know, Keith Moore. I mean, any preacher that you'd like to listen to, I sit and eat my breakfast. I turn one of them on, you know. I'm out golfing, you know. I got a speaker on, you know, the little speakers. I play it when I'm when I'm golfing. You know, I have it in me. I have it in me always. Of course, not all the time when we're in the car. We communicate and have things to talk about, but you know, I just want to encourage you, explore these avenues, get that word in you. It will change everything just by hearing it. You got two ears and you got two eyes. So you can read and you can hear twice as much, but you only can talk with one, your mouth. So if you get these things, these gates flooded with the word, then what's going to come out of your mouth is going to be the word of God. So, are you ready to close? You get to go home early when I'm here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the ears to hear. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to each and every one of these families and let them go home and put this into effect in their lives, that they'd be winners, Father God, and overtakers and overcomers, by your word and by your promises. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.